So, joining us today on the reverse stick, all the way from Trinidad and Tobago, is the Secretary of the Trinidad and Tobago Hockey Association, Miss Raya Richardson. Raya, good afternoon.
Hello. Good evening. How are you?
We're good, thank you. Thanks so much for joining us today. And we are really looking forward to finding out about the Trinidad and Tobago Hockey Association. Before we get on to that, I'd really love to know about your hockey history and how you got into the game.
I got into the game at the secondary school level. I was still in my school, St. Augustine Girls High School. And I just had a liking for hockey. I joined. Our school was competitive and very successful during that era. So, you know, they attracted a lot of young girls to the sport. Me being one of them.
One of them.
So that's how I started off.
Is hockey at that age basically around schools, Raya? Is it, or is it a club thing?
It's played, it's both schools and clubs. So we do have an active schools league, secondary school, and within the past couple of years, we started with primary schools leagues. We do have a good club structure where young girls and boys from the schools join clubs, and also clubs will have their own programs to introduce young persons to the sport.
So what sort of age would a younger player start playing senior hockey in the senior competitions there?
We will have some young players under 19, because that's our lowest age group division. We haven't gone lower yet. We have some under 19 players who will play in the championship division, which is our premier division. They may be around the ages of 14, 15, playing at the championship level, mainly getting exposure, playing against some of the older, more experienced players, some national players at that particular league or division, I should say.
Raya, what sort of sports are you competing against for these kids? I imagine sports like soccer is fairly popular.
All right, so for boys, it would be football, it would be cricket, it would be basketball, it would be computer games. For girls, it would be volleyball, it would also be women's football, lawn tennis, to name a few.
How many participating players do you have in TNT?
We're looking at a figure probably shy of 500, really and truly.
And that's juniors and seniors?
Juniors and seniors. All our schools programs and our adults taking part.
Now that,
playing the sport.
That's drawn from a population of about 1.3 million across Trinidad and Tobago?
Yeah, 1.3 million.
It's not a lot of people to draw from, is it?
No, it isn't. It isn't. We don't have the vastness or the numbers of some of the larger countries, US, Australia, England. So it is those few people that are interested would be a part of our sport.
So, Raya, can you give us some idea of the history of the hockey in Trinidad and Tobago? Where's it come from? Is it bought by the colonial English at some stage?
All right. Hockey, just like rugby, they're all colonial sports. Brought in by the English when England settled in Trinidad and Tobago in the 1700s. And from there, it has remained with us. We are one of the few West Indian or Caribbean islands that have retained the sport. We have Jamaica and Barbados and also Guyana, who also play field hockey within this region. From there, just like rugby, it is also a family sport. I guess coming from its roots, so you have generations of persons within a family playing this sport in the country.
So the recurring theme we get with hockey people is that it is that generational game, it is a family game,
yeah.
And it's good to hear that it's no different with you than it is anywhere else.
No, it is.
So facilities-wise, you've got your National Hockey Centre, is that the only AstroTurf, artificial turf pitch that you have on the island?
Yes, it is. It is the only AstroTurf we have. Currently, we are working with government to spread the sport. We're working towards getting a new surface to replace the old surface that we have at the National Hockey Centre. That surface is about 10 years old. And with that, we're looking to move this existing turf at another facility and then lay the new turf at the National Hockey Center. With the aim to, of course, spread the sport to other areas of the country. The sport of hockey is really north-centric, or it surrounds the capital of Trinidad, around Portisbin and environs. So we're looking to go to the other areas of the country, south and further east, to spread the sport.
So do the different clubs that participate in the competition, I understand there's about 15 clubs, is that right?
Yeah,
so so all fixtures are played on the turf. Is there any grass hockey played, and are there any club rooms with grass fields elsewhere away from the National Hockey Centre?
Right. Grass hockey is only played in Tobago, generally, where we go. Because Tobago is also a part of the club, there's one club in Tobago, Paradise Hockey Club, and they are part of our... They are a member of the Trans Tobago Hockey Board, so we have home and away matches for the Tobago team.
Paradise seems to be an appropriate name for a club in a place like Tobago.
It is. So that's the only time we will play in our Premier League Championship Division on grass.
So that's a ferry journey?
Either ferry or by plane.
And we were concerned that there might not be enough money in the sport in Trinidad and Tobago. You're taking the plane over.
Well, it all depends on the club, but usually when clubs go to Tobago, they make it a weekend event, but also a team bonding or a team exercise. I mean, and it's rest and relaxation in Tobago.
Ray, how do you go about finding... Is there enough space to put hockey fields in? Is there enough flat land in Trinidad and Tobago? Or is it, you know, something, groundwork, something you have to think about in all this as well?
There is enough flat land. There's not a problem. We're not like the other Caribbean islands, which are rather mountainous. So we have a good bit of plains, but the area may not be suitable. And the distance from, let's say, civilization may not be acceptable to a surface. And then to remember, most of the lands that are like that are government or state lands. So you'll have to apply through the government, get that type of land, depending on a hockey facility. But we're not mountainous like the other Caribbean islands, if that is where your question is leading.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. But obviously you guys have found some space to get the game going.
Yeah. We have, outside of the National Hockey Service, hockey was played on traditionally grass surfaces, and we had a few in the capital area and one or two in the south of the island. And of course in Tobago also, we had one or two grass surfaces. So there's the space and the land to play hockey.
So just on to your international teams, your ranking for men's and women's are both at 35 in the world at the moment. And where do you see the future for your international teams? I understand there's quite a lot of the better players up sticks and go and ply their trade in Europe or down here in Australia, where we've met some of the guys over the years down here. Is it hard to get your top players and the full side together?
Outside of the few that are not in Trinidad, or they're out playing their trade, a few in Australia, Quan Brown is in England, the majority of the team is in Trinidad and Tobago, so getting the team together is not that difficult. We will just have the few, as you mentioned, outside, and then when ready, because we know they're playing active hockey, and they're playing good level, or higher level of club hockey, wherever they are, and they just fit in seamlessly into the team.
That's great. Now, you had the Hockey World League round two, not too long back now. First off, how challenging was that to stage the event? And then the lead on from that is, what effects do you think that can have on the game in general for Trinidad and Tobago?
So anytime Trinidad and Tobago looks to host a tournament, we want it to be a legacy tournament. We want it at the end of the day to attract young persons to play this sport. We invite schools, we invite most of our clubs to be a part of this event. World League 2017, we were fortuitous in that we hosted the Pan Am Junior for men championships in 2016. So we can look at that tournament as our dry run to World League 2017. The requirements are a bit different for a World League tournament, but what we hope on, what we wanted to deliver, remained essentially the same. And I think, yes, we had our challenges. One, we have an economy that is shrinking. So getting sponsorship or corporate sponsorship on board was a bit challenging. One of the good things is that we have a good track record in terms of how we perform. So towards a couple of weeks before the tournament, we got people buying into the tournament, that is Corporate Trinidad, and being a part of the tournament. Participation from clubs and even fans or hockey enthusiasts in Trinidad or non-hockey enthusiasts, we had that. We had better advertising for this tournament. We used social media, actual media, billboards, and other things to attract and to bring persons to the hockey center to look at this high level or to be a part of this high level of hockey that the World League Round 2 would offer our country.
Outside of your corporate sponsorship money, where else do you find funding for the game?
Corporate sponsorship, it's basically minimal when we look at it on our day-to-day running of the sport in Trinidad and Tobago. They would assist us more in kind than in cash, products and probably goods and services, I should say. Uh-huh. Most of our money to run or to manage the sport comes from government.
Just on that point of government, how invested in the sport is the local government? Do they see it as a real pathway for local players and, you know, the growth of the game within Trinidad and Tobago?
Yes, to some extent. I mean, the government has been good in supporting not just field hockey, but other sports in Trinidad and Tobago. I'm giving our teams and even our from development go right up the opportunity to be in the sport, to learn and to grow in the sport. Most people would see government intervention or help when it comes to national teams, but they do play a part in terms of our annual subvention, and with that money we could have some of our programs happening. It may be not enough for some of the things we want to do, but we have to make and manage with what we have.
And Trinidad and Tobago has quite a rich history sporting-wise, not just with hockey, but across the board, athletics especially. How important within society is this sporting culture that you have?
Very important, because we want to make, or I could tell you, part of the government's mandate and other NGOs' mandate is to make sport the alternative to the not-so-pleasant elements in our society. So we look at sport as a way for persons to grow, to move out of whatever circumstances, negative circumstances they are in. We use sport for young men and women to have educational opportunities also. So sport is important, and we treat sport, or sometimes it may not be apparent, but there are entities that treat sport with the reverence that it is due. So, because it is a pathway for so many things and for so many people to move on to a different level.
Looking forward for Trinidad and Tobago hockey, what's the next step you guys want to take?
We really want to be able... World League Round 2 was an awesome tournament for our team, and that's where I start. We know our guys have the potential. In 2016 and Junior Pan Am Championships, we know our young men have the potential to medal. It was unfortunate how things played off, but we know that those guys have it within them to reach a different level, or to the next level, I should say. We would like to take our hockey to the point where we're probably in the top 20, or we could start gradually top 25 and top 20. It is a challenge because we are faced with mainly money, and you need money to go to that level, money for advanced coaching assistance, money for young guys and girls to travel, to compete against others of a higher standard, for them to experience a different level of hockey. That's where we would want to go. That's where our strategic plan wants us to go. But the mitigating factor, or the limiting factor, is really money.
You guys are involved in the Pan Am Cup coming up in the States. is it a struggle to get up the world rankings? You've obviously got to get the world ranking points, which means you've got to play against a lot of international sides to get those points. So, yeah, if you're not playing against them, then it's very hard to improve your position on that ladder. So what are the aspirations for the Pan Am Cup for the guys coming up?
We're looking to finish in the top four. We've had some persons not being available for this tournament, which will make is a bit difficult. But I know we have a young couple of guys, very eager. A few of them came out of really wrong too. We have Kwame Brown with the team, with a few experienced players to anchor these young fellas. So I think with good work and with some stability, we should be able to meet that target, hopefully.
Now, I also noticed that the women aren't putting in an appearance at the Pan Am Cup. Could you tell us anything about that?
Not for 2017. And I would have probably focused a lot on the men, which is unfortunate. But, you know, they took part in the Worldie Grand Tour in West Vancouver. We're looking for the women. We're looking for them to take part in the Pan American Indoor Championships, which will be held in Guyana in October 2017. So yes, there's competition for the women, and next year they have CAC Games, which will be a qualifier for the Pan American Games, and that Games is a qualifier for the Olympic Games, which will be held in Japan 2020.
Is there a cultural difficulty in Trinidad and Tobago with getting women involved in playing sport, or is it something that you guys, men, women, it doesn't matter, everybody's involved?
In years gone by, we haven't had a problem with getting women, young girls, involved in sport. Within the last 3 to 4 years, we've realized, or we've recognized that we have a winning participation of young women in sport. It has been a struggle to get them interested and to keep them in the sport. And it's not just hockey. It is any sport in Trinidad and Tobago right now. When I speak to my counterparts in the other sporting organizations, they too experience the same problem. Girls are interested in other things. They're bright. They want to settle down. They want to focus on their education, family, and other things. And they choose what is the priority for them and follow that path.
Yes, I have a 16-year-old daughter, and she's very much interested in other things. That's the best way I can put it.
Yeah, so it has been something we've seen, like I said, within the last 2 to 3 years, and we have to find a way to keep them interested, to make the sport or sports in general attractive to them.
I did read you're part of the Trinidad and Tobago Olympic Committee, and I read that recently the elections have taken place, and for the first time you've got gender equality across the group there. I was very pleased to see that, and that's obviously something that's been a struggle in the past.
It has been, and it is good that we can move forward in this way. One of the mantras we have at the Trinidad and Tobago Olympic Committee is futures female. And we want to focus on female, knowing or seeing the struggles and understanding the struggles we have, and to empower women to be in the sport and to remain in the sport, either as a young person coming in or a young player coming in or as an administrator. Young girls and women could recognize and identify women in the sport.
It's interesting you've just mentioned the sort of technical jobs, and the techies don't often get much of a shout in the hockey world. You've done some technical officiating yourself?
Yes, I have.
What would the route be then for maybe somebody, let's think of somebody myself, an average hockey player. I'd have never have any chance of playing on the international scene, but perhaps I could get involved with umpiring, with officiating. What was the route that took you to take that path?
I can speak of my experience, and I can share with you one or two other persons who I know that are like what you've just described. So for me, I was a national player, and I wanted to remain in this sport. Luckily for me, the Trinidad and Tobago Hockey Board had hosted one of those technical persons training programs. I found myself there. I learned from one of Trinidad's female tournament directors, Maureen Craig Russo, who's also a director of the FIH at present. She conducted the course along with Roger St. Rose, and that's where I started. Like I said, I wanted to remain in the sports of hockey, so when they had games or when they scheduled me to do work table, as we would call it, I made myself present. And I got the opportunity in 2007 to work as an official at a local, as she said, Caribbean tournament, the Caribbean Games. That was in 2007. And in 2008, I got the other opportunity to work alongside a technical team. It was a Junior Pan Am men's tournament, but they required additional or local support. And I was asked, and I said yes. 2009, I got my first international appointment, and from there, I have been working on the international scene. And that was my story. I wanted to remain in the sport of hockey. There are persons, though, and we have a few in Trinidad and Tobago. Ariel Wallace is one of those. He's from Tobago. He does not play the sport. He has never played the sport, really, but he was interested in being around the sport. And being in Tobago, you may not have much persons around to volunteer to work on the technical table. His sister played hockey, and he would be like, okay, I will do the scoring, I write up the papers. And from there, he would be there religiously every weekend doing the games when teams from Trinidad would travel to Tobago. And he took all the opportunity thereafter to be on the international stage. So there are persons with different entrances into the technical field and also umpiring. Very rarely do we have umpires who have not played the game in Trinidad. Very rarely. They've all had a taste of hockey. They've all played the game. And a few have been interested or are interested in umpiring. And they just migrate or move towards umpiring. But for technical officiating, we do have people who are just interested, come around, watch a game and want to be a part of it, and they come and work on the technical table.
And so there's a pathway there, there's the training there available for them.
Right. Yes, we have a technical and umpiring committee, and they offer training, which I was exposed to in 2006-2007, and they offer training. We have international officials here who would conduct the training, Regal Gomes being one of them, Willard Harris, Maureen Craig Russo, and they would offer it to anyone who's interested. We do it annually, both for technical persons and for umpires. For umpires, they have more frequent sessions coming together, or we try to have more frequent sessions, because they're umpiring, or the game of hockey is such a dynamic thing. So you just want people to understand, know what they're doing, and be able to impart that knowledge, that training, and that learning onto the field of play. So they may have a few more sessions than the technical official.
It's something that I do like, that smaller hockey nations can get that involvement, even if the teams can't quite make it to the big league. You see it with, I guess, Nathan Stagno from Gibraltar springs to mind. There's some of the Singaporean umpires that are doing it on the big stage, and I see from friends in Singapore that they're very proud that these guys are out there with, you know, officiating.
Yes, it is good that when we smaller nations can make a mark.
Oh, and we love it too, Raya. It helps make the sport greater. Now,
yes,
just from your perspective, we don't know a lot about the hockey economy, but we do know that no one in a position like yours is doing it to get rich. And I just wanted to know what drives you on a daily basis to keep pushing forward with Trinidad and Tobago hockey.
That's a very interesting question, a telling question. What drives me? I see so much potential. But we need really and truly the resources to make it happen. And I think that's what drives me, to be able to make the resources available. Most times I may not be successful, but the few times that I am, it's a little victory for me. So that mainly for I'll take it at a bigger level, our national teams, for them to get the opportunity to get the little things that probably the larger hockey nations will get, the ability to travel just for a pre-tournament camp, you know, to get ready for a tournament. At the lower levels, it is a joy, really and truly, at the development stages to watch these young players, primary schools and secondary schools, partake in our little tournaments. It is a joy to watch the under-19s and to see how they've developed and grown to be a part, to be the future of the sport. It is a joy. There are, of course, drawbacks. You have to deal with the politics of it all and other little negatives, but it is really the hope to see great things happen that drives me. And we have, and like I said, as a board and personally, there are little victories that you see from time to time that spurs us on.
Oh, that's fantastic, Ray. I mean, and it's people like you who have that dedication to the game that keeps us going too. So hats off to you from us here at the Reverse Stick, because we admire what you're doing for the sport.
Well, thank you. It's just not me alone. It really takes a village. It is those who have been there before me. You see the work they've done. And those who are with me now, I work with a board of 9 other persons, and their passion too is, and the experience that they bring to the sport and decision making is really phenomenal.
Ray, just before we let you go, I do have another question. You mentioned there travel and about, you know, getting your teams to travel and to get top quality competition. I was wondering if you guys had an over 40s tournament coming up anytime soon, because I know 15 blokes would have liked to travel to you.
Are you interested?
I think I could find a few fellas that would be happy to come to Trinidad and Tobago to play hockey.
All right, so I could tell you about this year, to be honest, and I start here, to be honest, this year has been a bit topsy-turvy first in terms of hockey. Yes, we hosted, but there has been the uncertainty of when the turf would be coming in, and I'm not sure if I should edit that part and stuff, but I'll just share that with you. So we've opted to have weekend tournaments with some success. And coincidentally, this weekend gone, we had the vets tournament. And it is really, really very fun and comedic to have our vets play. It's really the most relaxing hockey out. There are tournaments. We have clubs, and it's a part of, what's the word I should say? Giving them some autonomy. They have tournaments, and we have a few clubs that will have veterans divisions or just a plain veterans tournament. I would say it's over 35, not really over 40, but we have that level of hockey here. We have a very vibrant vets league or vets group of people in Trinidad and Tobago. And just one thing will come to mind is the Carib Hockey Club. That's one of our clubs, I wouldn't say oldest clubs, but they've been around a while. They have a vets tournament in Tobago. And that in itself will give you an idea how relaxing and how much fun that tournament is. It's in Tobago. So when you go across there, you're going across there to have a fun time. And that, I would say, sums up our vets hockey in Trinidad. Yes, it is competitive. We have guys who play together, the national team, who've all grown old together, and they're playing together at the vets league. But they have a really lovely camaraderie around them that makes the sport just a joy to watch when they play.
So was the vets tournament at the weekend the prelude to your cooler cruise on Saturday?
it was the after. It was the after matches from the cooler cruise on Saturday, yes. It was one of our fundraising events that we had. As we mentioned, money or finances are a bit hard to come by, and we have to be able to subsist and to manage on our own, and this was one attempt at doing it. Like I said, we are in a shrinking economy, and we focus anytime we experience this type of shrinkage is really, the focus is not really on sport, but on the really critical, or what people would think, the critical areas, health, education, security, so on and so forth. Sport always ends up at the bottom of the totem pole, which is sad to see.
Oh, well, look, I'm happy to come over. I'll play for coconuts and rum.
All right. So I do hope I have given you a snapshot of what happens in Trinidad. There's a lot more, really. But I do hope I've given you a snapshot, really.
Raya, it's been absolutely wonderful. Thank you so much for your time. It's great to be able to share a little bit about the story of Trinidad and Tobago hockey with our listeners. And where can people find out more about the game in Trinidad? Is there a website or a Facebook that you can point people in the direction of?
We have a Facebook page, TT Hockey. We also have another one, a second one, TT Hockey Fans. There you'll see what is going on in Trinidad and Tobago hockey and stuff. We have a website, a bit complicated, but I won't go into that one. We're on Instagram. We're on Twitter.
Yes. So there's plenty of ways that people can find out about TT Hockey and connect and support.
And connect.
And if anybody wants to throw any sponsorship your way, you'd be happy to take it.
Of course. Once the money's good. Yes.
Raya, thanks so much for your time and good luck with the future of the game.
Matt and John, thank you for your patience and thank you for your time and for doing this interview.